a result of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke, brings freedom to people's lives. And Father, may we experience the same here in our service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I'm glad to be with you this morning. It's an honor to be able to have this time of fellowship with you in the Word and in worship. I appreciate Christy and the choir and y'all leading us in this worship this morning. Thank you. We had a beautiful day yesterday. It was really amazing. There was just over 40 people serving the kingdom of God from our church. There was a great number of people that went into Lake Charles yesterday to work and to serve and to labor. And just really making a difference. Some incredible testimonies that have come out of that be shared in the prayer meeting tonight. Just some divine appointments of God. And also, we had about 18 people yesterday come up to the church to go into the neighborhood and to knock on doors and to share the gospel and invite people to church. And it was really favorable. It was a favorable time. It was really, really blessed. Those of us that went out said it was just more unique than we've ever experienced in our life. It's like the people are really suffering, and they were so glad to have somebody come by and visit them and just extend their love, their prayers, and the fact that we're here to help them. And so we've already gotten some relationships with people that we're going to go back to and talk to them some more and perhaps help them some more. And so anyway, I just thank God for the church and how God is using the church and how we're moving. Had ministry in Nebraska yesterday and today through Jeff and then Jeff Lee. I mean, Andrew Wilkes is ministering in a friend of ours church in North Baton Rouge called Emmanuel. That's the pastor of the church, Assembly of God Church. And I'm just glad that we're able to serve them this morning also. So God is using us, and it's quite exciting in this day and hour that the doors of the kingdom are open. And He's bidding people to come in. And it's wonderful to be the evangelist of God right now to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because people want to hear good news. And y'all, it's so exciting right now. I don't know how much opportunity that you're getting through friends, relatives, phone calls, whatever it may be. But people are wanting good news. And so this is very encouraging. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 10. Seems to be somewhat of an echo in it, Billy. But Joshua chapter 10, we're going to read from here this morning. And what I want to talk to you about today is the mind of Christ, the possibility of all things. The mind of Christ, the possibility of all things. And while you're turning there, I did want to make this comment as well. A couple of guys in our church just desired to start having evenings of worship. And so these are just young people, college guys. And so they started to host that in their home. And so I snuck in Friday night to it, you know, and just went into the living room, dining room, and just laid under the table while they worshiped and sang. There was probably over 30 people in there at one point. It was so beautiful, just the young people gathering together to worship God. And again, it just speaks of the presence and the moving of God in our church. It's just absolutely beautiful to watch and to behold. I have a friend. She's been a childhood friend since we were in elementary school growing up through junior high and high school. She lives in Australia, and they had discovered through two MRIs that she had a very large mass that they were very concerned about in her health. And so she contacted us for prayer. And a long story short, she was at the doctor Friday, just reviewed the MRIs with him a second time before they would do other procedures, and the mass was gone. It was totally gone. Praise the Lord. And so we have been believing to see the power of God and the glory of God. And I tell you, we're really seeing it. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The mind of Christ, the possibility of all things. In Joshua chapter 10, beginning in verse 10, "And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goes up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Eska and to Mekda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Ezekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And the question that I would ask is, in this, just to bring this into the subject this morning, all that we've read right now is the Lord's doing. The Lord chased them. The Lord slew them. The Lord was hurling down these stones from heaven, and He was killing them, the enemies of Israel. And the question would be, you know, why didn't God finish them off? Was God unable? Was He missing them? Some of them with the hailstones, they were sneaking and getting away. And so I want you to think that for just a second, and I want to answer it. Verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. This is amazing, isn't it? The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And I just think this is a beautiful story. It is absolutely miraculous. And what I want to bring out to you this morning is how powerful is the mind of Christ. And truly, the mind of Christ is the possibility of all things. There is nothing in the mind of Christ that says impossible. But everything in the mind of Christ says that is possible. Nothing's too hard for God. So here's this conflict that Israel is in with her enemies. God is fighting for Israel. In the verses that we begin with, God is chasing them. God is hurling down hailstones upon them. But yet all of the people are not destroyed. Israel is chasing them. And Joshua has a conversation with God. And in this conversation with God, I believe Joshua receives information from God. And he goes and stands before all of Israel in the valley. And he speaks to the sun and commands it to be still. And commands the moon to be still. And it happens. For a whole day, it doesn't move. This is absolutely phenomenal. Now, what man in his right mind would speak to the sun and actually believe that it was going to stop? I mean, honestly, because we understand more from science today, we understand that the whole solar system is moving. That we're told that it is possibly moving at 40,000 miles an hour. The whole solar system, the sun and everything. And the earth is circling around the sun and everything. And God just, He doesn't just stop the sun. He has to stop the universe. Or these things would begin to collide into one another. Everything shut down. Well, that just now defies physics. Because if there's not movement, then there's not the gravity that we have and things begin to float. Or it's just crazy. You know, and so God does this miracle in response to Joshua's prayer. And so what I want to say to you is this, when I ask the question, why didn't God finish them off? And what I think is so interesting and wonderful is that God's purposes in the earth by God's desire depend upon you and me. That God can do anything that He wants to do. There is nothing that God cannot do. But let's say, for example, when God desires to preach the gospel to the nations, He can do that. He could send angels to do that. God could just let His voice speak 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from heaven, proclaim. He could do it. But He has chosen in His desire to invite us to cooperate with Him, to believe Him, and to share in the victory with Him. I think that is so wonderful that God wants to do. He could heal everybody on the planet. He could heal everybody on the planet, but what he desires to do is invest you with authority and power and then commission you. You go lay hands on the sick. I will heal them, but I want you to participate in this with me. I think that's so beautiful of God that he would want to use us. There's a mindset in people. It is not new. It has been around since men have been around. And it is not... It exists within the body of Christ as well. And that mindset must be overcome. It's a mindset that produces an attitude sometimes of lethargy or excuses or whatever it may be. And it's this mindset that just simply says, well, whatever God wants to do is going to be done and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm sorry, that is not the Word of God. That is not in agreement with the Word of God. There are things that God has wanted to do that he didn't get to do because there was not a people of faith to believe him to do it. Jesus fell before Jerusalem and Jesus stretched his hands out over the city and said, how I have longed to take you to myself, but you would not. And he said to the prophet Ezekiel, I looked for somebody to stand in the gap so I wouldn't have to judge the people, but I found nobody. I didn't want to judge them, but I found nobody, so I had to bring judgment. What possibly could your life of faith today mean to the blessing, the salvation, the deliverance of somebody in your life? And rather than have the attitude, well, if God wants to save him, he's going to save him. If God wants to heal him, he's going to heal him. If God wants to do it, he's going to do it. If God wants to demonstrate Jesus to Baton Rouge, God's going to do it with or without us. And the fact of the matter is he can, but he has chosen instead to put this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's chosen to put that in us. So that the power may be of God and not us, but the power will work through us. And he's invited us to have intimacy with him. And so this is the excuse, I think, most of the time for failure in the spiritual arenas of life. And we in our generation are in one of the most unique spiritual arenas that has ever existed in human history. There are things going on today in our world that have never occurred since the creation of man. There are things transpiring and men are dealing with things never before in the history of the world. Are men dealing with things as they are today? This is a spiritual arena. And men everywhere are crying for answers. This is the day of God. This is the day of the church. And we can't just passively sit by and say, well, God's going to do whatever he wants to do. We have to join God. Somebody has to have a conversation with God. And it could have been that attitude with Israel. Well, if God wants to beat this army, he can do it. I mean, he's chasing them. He's throwing hailstones down. And I guess, you know, that's all that God wanted to destroy. And so let's us retreat and go back to our... No, Joshua goes and has a conversation with God. Lord, there's a great victory going on. What do you want to do? Joshua, I want you to go into the valley in front of all of Israel. And I want you to speak to the sun. And I'm going to listen to you. And so we could ask God the same thing. God, what do you want to do today? How do you want to move today? How do you want to show your power today? How do you want to show your glory today? And what God wants to do is so unique and so powerful that God will receive all of the glory for it. There's a statement I've made for years, and it's this. We have to stop blaming our failures on the sovereignty of God. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, we have to believe God. We have to talk to God. We have to know what God wants to do. And God has higher purposes than what we can naturally see. And for a man to go and speak to the sun, that is not the thought of a human being. That is a divine thought of God that was planted into that man, Joshua. And he acted upon faith and believed that he had authority to actually do it. That thought does not come from men. It comes from God. Because these are thoughts that in our reasoning could never be so. But there's no impossibility for the mind of Christ. And I want you to understand that. And again, before we move further, I want you to see and understand that before Joshua ever spoke to the Son, he spoke to God. This is not presumption. This is not Joshua just wishing something to be so. As a matter of fact, we know when the prophet Elijah challenged the 850 witches in the valley, he didn't go do something on his own. He wasn't presuming upon God. He wasn't just presuming, I'm going to make this challenge and God, you better bring fire down from heaven or I'm going to look a fool in the midst of everybody. It wasn't like that. He didn't pour water upon his altar as just some presumptuous thing and boastful thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that everything Elijah did, even the mocking of the false gods, everything Elijah did was what God told him to do. He did not make one thing up. The challenge of fire, the pouring of water upon his sacrifice, God told him to do all of that and he did it. And that's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. What does God want to do? How does God want to move? Praise God for the Bible that we have, because so many of these questions are answered when it concerns the lost, when it concerns the sick, when it concerns the sinner, when it concerns the bound, when it concerns the abused. We know what God wants to do. His word has shown us that. And then we go and we believe it. And so I just want you to understand, he didn't act on his own. He had talked to God. And so I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1 now. And I want to just read something about the alternative mind. If we don't have the mind of Christ, then this is the only alternative. And this is a mind that we naturally have. We would call it the carnal mind, the unstable mind, the double mind. That's the only alternative to the mind of Christ. I don't care who we are. The mind of Christ is supernatural. But our minds are natural. And that is the mind that is going to typically operate in us unless we, by faith, live through the mind of Christ. Brother Clendenin used to always say, and I love the way he said it, at conventions sometimes, there was this lady, she would fly in from Colorado. She was a concert pianist, and it was beautiful. And he said, he'd sit there, she would always play for the offering, and it was just amazing to hear her play the piano. And Brother Clendenin would talk one time, and he said, I promise you, I think she had every key on that piano down at the same time. It was just amazing how she could do that. And he just began to speak, and he said this, and I thought it was so profound what he said. He said, I'm fit. I don't have arthritis. I don't have any problems with my eye-hand coordination, but I can't play a piano like that. But if you put her mind in me, then I could play the piano the way she plays it. You just put the mind in me. And do you understand, believer, that's what God desires for us? He desires to put the mind of Jesus Christ in you, and then you will be able to do what Jesus does. Isn't that what Jesus said? The works that I've done, greater works will you do? So the only alternative to this mind is the natural mind, the carnal mind, the double mind, the unstable mind, which is the one that typically operates. And oftentimes it may operate in the world of believers. So in James 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, because if you ask in faith, that's typically the way it's going to be, because you've heard God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I want to make a comment about that. Because we might have some of our own ideas about the wave of the sea, and that's true. I mean, the wind pushes it, the currents push it. But also, if you're trying to follow a wave in the sea, there are times it becomes very difficult. And sometimes it's very difficult to follow a person who is wavering and unstable in their ways. And the Bible says in verse 7, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It doesn't say you won't, but the expectation of it is very limited. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now that's the alternative to the mind of Christ. There really is no other mind for us unless it's a demonic mind. And that is very possible as well. But we're not talking about the demonic mind right now. We're just talking about the natural mind of man and the mind of Christ. And I want you to understand that. So this is in James. A double-minded man. No other alternative if we don't take the mind of Christ in this. The carnal mind, the mind of man, is at enmity with God. I want you to see this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Bible tells us this in regards to the mind of man. In Romans 8 verse 5, the Bible says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's at war with God. Now listen, it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so this carnal mind that exists in all humanity is a mind that is unstable. It is a mind that is double. You ask God for this, but you expect something else. We actually pray. We actually pray for God to do something in our life, but instead of believing that, we begin to entertain other things than that, as though these are the things that are going to happen. Oh, I ask God to heal me, but I'm probably going to die. I ask God to help me, but He probably won't. I ask God to help me with my work and my job, but I'm probably going to get fired. And that's the way of man. I ask God to help me, but I don't think He will. I don't deserve it. It's just wavering and it's unstable. And not only that, according to the book of Romans, the carnal mind's even at war with God. It fights God. It fights doing what God wants it to do. So God begins to speak, okay, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Joshua, I am helping you, but I've done up to this point what I've done, and now I want to engage you to do something that is so fantastically supernatural that men are going to see the relationship that I desire to have with men. And Joshua, I've heard you. Now I want you to go out into the valley. I want you to make sure all of Israel is around you. I want them to hear you. I want them to watch you. I don't want you to do this in a prayer closet in secret. I want you to do it out in the open. I want you to speak to the sun, and I want you to tell it to stop. And the mind of enmity would say, no way. No way. I'm not going to go speak to the sun. Nobody's ever done that before. That's not going to happen. God, can I do it in private? Why do I have to do it in front of everybody? What if it doesn't happen? And how many times do Christians behave that way? What if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't take place, God? What if it does? Oh my God, what if it does happen? What if it does take place in the glory of God and the excitement of your own spirit? And so in Romans chapter 8, it says the carnal mind's at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. It cannot please God. And it doesn't say that it won't try. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there are those who will make a good show in the flesh. There are many who become very, very religious and look very, very holy and talk about all of these wonderful things of a religious life, of discipline, of obedience, of faithfulness, and all of these things in their life. But there comes a point in that religious attainment that there comes something in God and they just cannot go there into that supernatural. They cannot go there. Their life stops at natural ability. And they fail to function on the supernatural ability of grace and God's power through the Holy Spirit. That's the natural mind. And it operates in every one of us. Every one of us would doubt the promises of God. Every one of us may shy back from something because the natural mind does not operate in faith. It cannot operate in faith. Therefore, it cannot please God. It just can't. But oh, how it will try. But the mind of Christ can please God. For the mind of Christ is the mind of faith. It's the mind of assurance and the mind of confidence and the mind of belief that God is so. And so I want to give you three things about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not at war with God. The carnal mind is, but the mind of Christ is not. There is no conflict with what God wants and God desires and the mind of Christ. It is absolute unity and harmony. And what a blessing that God would desire to put this mind in us. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Now that word says to us as believers, it's not like it's out of us and it needs to come into us. As a believer, that mind is in you. And that word let actually means allow it to operate in you. Allow the mind of Christ to operate in you. And you will find that that mind of Christ is so powerful. And it's an absolute agreement with God. The mind of Christ is active. It is not theoretical. It is active. Faith lives. Faith acts. Faith demonstrates. The mind of Christ does not live knowing God can, but it does what He does. Whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Seeing is permission for acting. If God shows you something, it is your permission to do something. That's what Jesus did. Whatever I see Him do, I do. Whatever I hear Him say, I say. And Jesus lived by that. That's the mind of Christ. If you can't see God doing it, then you need to spend more time with God until you know what He wants you to do. The third thing about the mind of Christ, it is spiritual and it is not carnal. It is not carnal. The Bible says so many times that Jesus perceived something in His spirit. It wasn't here that He knew it, though He probably did, because He's the most brilliant man to ever live without any limitation. But the Bible says so many times that Jesus perceived in His spirit. He knew things by the Spirit. It's not a carnal mind in Christ, it's a spiritual mind. Without this mind, we cannot work the interest of God. We cannot. And so this is a desperation for us. Just think about the human mind. The human mind would have never stretched a rod over a river thinking the water would actually part. The human mind would never speak to the sun. The human mind would never get water out of a rock in a desert. The human mind would have never overcome a major city by marching quietly around it for 7 days. The human mind would have said, that is insane. The human mind would have buried the Shunammite son and Jairus' daughter. The human mind would have stoned the woman caught in adultery. The human mind would have bowed to the idols of Nebuchadnezzar. The human mind would have dropped a few coins at Gate Beautiful for the lame man who couldn't walk and was begging for help. But the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, will call fire from heaven. It will walk through a fiery furnace. It will sleep with lions. It will feed 5,000 men with a fish. The mind of Christ will. The carnal mind would have been stuck on the boat without any access to the land. But the spiritual mind will walk on the water. Tell devils to come out. Turn water into wine. Choose God over riches. Choose heaven over hell and earth. It will build an ark when there's never even been an event of rain on the earth. It will conceive children in an altar. It will fight giants and it'll put its last dime in an offering plate. The mind of Christ has no problem doing what God wants to do. It lives supernaturally. Not confined to the laws of this world or to the physics of this world or the ingenuities of man. It always transcends. always. And whether it was the prophets of the Old Testament or whether it was the apostles of the New Testament, all that was in Christ, all that was in Jesus Christ, all that He did, all the ways that He behaved has now been implanted to all of those who would believe in Him. And what He does, they do, because the power of Christ is in them. And they let that operate through their life. They let it operate through their life. So I ask you this morning, how has the mind of Christ attacked you? Because the mind of Christ is violent. It is aggressive. It is not complacent. It does not want to coexist with you and I. It does not want to coexist with your natural mind, your natural logic, and your natural reasoning. The mind of Christ will have the precedent, the preeminence. But if we choose to not crucify ourselves and walk in our own natural state, then we have no one to blame by the lack of miracles and the lack of supernatural and the lack of joy and the lack of power that we see in our life. Because it was not God's desire to lack, but it was our refusal to walk in the mind of Christ and to stay in the natural. And all that God has given us is a testimony of a supernatural God who wants to be in relationship with natural people and do the most marvelous things through their life if they would join Him. Whatever conflict or problems that you have around your life, those things aren't to get the glory. God wants to talk to you about those things. God wants to show you something supernatural that He wants to do. And when He does, the question is, what state of mind are you in? Are you in the mind of Christ or are you in the natural mind? In other words, will you believe God to do that supernatural thing? Or will we say, just turn our backs, walk away from it, or go to bed again another night and say, well, if God wants to do it, He will. He's God. And we say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not Scripture. That's not Scripture. Somebody on earth has to agree with the will of heaven. And why can't that somebody be me? And it can be, and it should be all of us. So I want you to pray with me. And I want to say to you about this in conclusion. The mind of Christ is very simple. It is the Holy Spirit's government in your life. It is the will of the Holy Spirit, the energy of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the desires of the Holy Spirit. It's not some mystical thing where you're trying to hear another voice. It is simply the submission of our lives by faith to the will and the operation of the Holy Ghost in our life, knowing He's not natural. He's supernatural. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You would stir us and cause us, Father, in a moment in history that's never, we've never had before like this, that we might live a supernatural life that You have already equipped us with, You have already empowered us with, that You desire to work through. And Father, it really is so humbling and so wonderful to think and to understand You can do anything You want to do. There is no limitation on You. But what is in Your heart is to cooperate with Your church. To put within these clay vessels of humanity the absolute power of God. So that when things begin to happen through our life, not only will the world know it, but we will know it. It's the power of God in us. And Lord, this is an hour when men are desperate for answers and men are desperate for good news. This is the hour of God. It's the hour for Your church. And Lord, I pray that we would all be filled with the Holy Ghost. That we would all operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That Lord, we would have a mind that is supernatural and not natural. That our mind would not be at war with You. That our mind would not make efforts to try to do what You want only to fail. But God, we would see the success and the fulfillment of the promise. Because we have a different mind. We have a different mind than the world. Let them see it. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And we have liberty. And we have freedom. We have joy. We have life. We have hope. We have a future. We have an eternal home. And God, that is beautiful to us. May we live for your glory. May your glory be revealed through us in the name of Jesus. Amen.